Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. First off, what on, my friend? We have the Southside Flyers are the WNBL champions. Melbourne United, one zip up. What a weekend of basketball.
Yes, it was quite fantastic. I'm never quite sure with Southside because they want to say that they're a new club and this is their second championship in 5 years and four grand finals. And then somewhere later you read, no, it's their fifth because they're now, then they do include the history of the club, which is Dandenong Rangers, basically got rebranded as Southside Flyers. So this is their fifth championship. And I prefer to look at it that way because I prefer to look at that club as having had more substance and you know, Jerry Ryan changing the name as the owner. Well, fair enough. No problem with that. But my God, 115 points in game three, Brad, which is
Let's go to game two first. Perth had it won. Absolutely had it won. Done. Got some free throws. Missed layup. Offensive rebound.
Yes,
chance. It was an offensive rebound. And then a turnaround fadeaway beat you on the buzzer. And Mercedes, outstanding. Don't get me wrong. That was a great shot and went on to be great in the grand final and get the, Rachel Spawn, your girl from Adelaide, get the medal. And how good did Rachel look, by the way? Did you see her handing out that? God, she looks 20 still. Unbelievable.
Yeah, she looked like she just come from judo class.
I just remember looking at her and go, is that a daughter? You know, like, what's going on
now,
there?
Now, here's a question for you. Which is the tougher shot? The game winner when you're 2 points behind, so you've hit a three.
The game winner
when you're one behind, or the game winner when you're tied, and if you miss, you're still going to overtime.
No question. Yeah, the tied game's the easiest. Absolutely.
Yeah. So good for Mercedes Russell, saved them in that game.
Yeah.
Big, magnificent big shot, but you know.
My heart goes out to Amelie Maley. My heart goes out to her. That poor girl. I know. You know, she's just got a heart of gold. I know she's part of the commentary team. I actually have not called any games with her, but I know talking to people in the commentary team that's called with her, she's an absolute beautiful soul is what I've been told. And I just feel so sorry for anyone that, you know, goes to a situation where they miss that. And then you could see on Sunday, she was trying everything possible.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Now, in that game, you know, you said Perth had it and blew it. Well, they didn't. For most of the game, Southside was in control. Perth came back really strongly. They had a great game out of our friend of the show, Alex Cibitoni. She had one of her finest
she
games
was good.
As a WNBL
real
player.
Good. Yeah.
And his score's tied, 40 seconds to go. Leilani Mitchell for the three. Cibitoni blocks it. And Lee Maley grabs the rebound, fouled by Lauren Jackson, goes to the foul line. And as soon as she went to the foul line, that first free throw, Brad, it barely reached the ring. And in that moment, you know she's not thinking about muscle memory process. She's thinking about
outcome. Well, you knew the
next
one wasn't going down.
Yeah, absolutely. You knew the second one wasn't going down. So then they go down. Cibitoni once again steals the ball on the break. Perfect pass through to Maley for the layup. Misses the layup. Great hustle by Maley to get the ball back, but then takes a really ill-conceived shot straight into Mercedes Russell's hand for the block. Now, you know that nobody who understands basketball is then going to blame her, say, oh, well, you know, you cost us the game. That isn't what happens. You've got 40 minutes to win that game, to set it up, etc. What you've been denied is the opportunity to win the game. That's all.
Mate, you can say that, buddy, whatever. And as players, we just know exactly. As a player, you're like, I couldn't care less what, you know, anyone says.
I blew it. Yes. And that's how she's feeling going into game three. And the fact that it was evident in the game that she was trying so hard that it hadn't been addressed. It wasn't addressed. It was clearly left to her own devices. And I think, you know, she goes 2 for 14, gets 6 rebounds, has really one of her worst games when she's trying to play one of her best. I'm sorry, but that I thought was very poor coaching from the Perth Lynx people. I think Ryan Petrick did a great job to get that team into the finals death.
When you consider the last round, I think from memory, if the Flames win, they're out.
Yes.
So they get in there and then they sweep Townsville.
Absolutely.
And then they blow Southside off the floor in game one. heartbreaking for him. It really is.
But again, this is, I'm going to go back to the coaching, because Ryan Petrick was the coach 2 years ago. Brad Robbins and Nat Burton were his assistants, as they were 2 years ago as assistants now. In that series, they played Melbourne Boomers in the final. They came into Melbourne for game one, absolutely smacked them, 27 points or something it was, thrashed them in game one, went to game two in Perth, should have wrapped it up, lost it by a point, heartbreaking. Now, does this sound familiar? This is exactly what's happening here. And then they've come into game three and been
flogged. I read your article, buddy. I read your article. It's not often. No, I do. You are fantastic. I'm not just saying it because you're here. I've read it. People listening, I know you would go and get on there, BOTINAGY.com. I read your follow-up, and I think that article, when I'm reading it, I'm going, oh, my God, I forgot that. I forgot that. I cannot believe it is a mirror. The only difference is one was Boomers, one is Southside. That's the only difference. Same coaching, same everything. And you've got to start to say to yourself, man, you know how many people say you got to lose one to win one?
Yeah. Like,
how often do you hear
I've heard that. Yeah.
Whoa, twice. Not twice.
And not the identical same way. Yeah, where you come in after should have wrapped it up in two, you come in and you get flogged in the third game. And that's what happened last time. So it's like, I'm really disappointed with that. I think they did a great job to get them where they got them. But then when they were there, they weren't good enough to actually make the adjustments. Now, that's enough about Perth. Southside was absolutely fantastic. And I've got, hats off to Mercedes Russell, but also I think this is the second time they won a championship and Bec Cole's been unlucky not to be the racial spawn medalist, because when they beat Townsville when they were all up in Queensland, Leilani Mitchell got it, and in the final they played Townsville, and she had done a great job defending. I can't remember whether it was Lauren Nicholson or Shyla Hill, but she was fantastic at both ends of the floor and misses
out. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I don't know what Bec Cole was on yesterday, but she was a raving lunatic at the end, and I loved every bit of it. I loved every bit of it. She was going nuts, mate, and I love it. She's like, woo,
high on life.
You know? Oh, high good on life. Her. She was brilliant, running around. You could see the girls, and you know what I love, like, I said to you off air, right, and just before we started, I said, how good was yesterday's game? And your exact words were, that was as boring as hell, right? And it was for the purist. But for me, who is a purist, but I can watch any grand final at any time, anywhere in the world, any sport, don't care. But I don't love the first three quarters when they're like that. Although the first quarter was pretty good. The second and the third were pretty boring. But the fourth quarter is all about now you're champions. And I love watching. Yeah, I love
I've loved that. Is
and I love watching the young girls in this instance. Obviously, it would be young boys if it was the men's. And I love watching the young girls, watching the veterans, how much they appreciate it. Because I know in 1992, I won a CBA championship, right? It was back then, it was the CBA, which is now NBL one for our listeners. Now, I'm playing in the Sydney Comets. Now, in that team, right, we had a fantastic team. We had Mark Ridlon, who you would know from the kick. We had Jerry Everett from Newcastle. We had Graham Davis, Robert Croker, Don Bickett, right? So, we had Dave
NBL
Monk.
Team,
yeah, we had Dave Monk, who'd come out of Canberra and can shoot the ball, and James Carr. Right. So, and James Carr went on to play for the Kings, was at Newcastle as well. So we had seven quality. And then I was like the eighth, ninth with other guys. Right. I was rookie, young as all hell. And we won a championship. We beat Bulleen, which had Eric Cooks and Eric Hayes on the Friday night. And that was who we beat in the final. I'm sorry. And then we played another team. And that team that we beat, and I can't remember who it was on the Friday, was coached by Brett Brown. So it was full on. Right. It was full on. And it was just an awesome occasion. And I remember at the end of that game watching these guys win it, and I'm thinking, okay, we've won a championship because it's my first year. You don't appreciate until you're older how hard it is to win a championship, right? And now when I went back and I coached in NBL one and won championships, mate, that was like the pride that you get. It doesn't even compare to my first one as I won as a player, because you just don't appreciate it like you do. Yeah. And I'm watching Bec Cole be an idiot, and I'm saying that in a beautiful way, right? I love it. Right? And, I'm watching Lauren jump around and be crazy, and Mercedes and all these girls, like they're going nuts on there. And I feel it. I could feel it. That's why I could watch that whole last quarter anytime, anywhere. It is just so much fun to watch it all.
I agree with that. And also, I think we should mention Jasmine Dickey, who I thought was, for most of the season, I thought she was a fairly ordinary import. But come the playoffs, she definitely went up a level. Top scorer with both their wins. She was very substantial for them. Amazing. And, of course, as you've mentioned, Lauren, Maddie Rocci. I mean, that was Carly Ernst was an absolute demon off the bench.
Yeah.
Really, really hurt them. And yeah.
Full credit to the team. I think they were great, extremely great coaching in that instance. You got to give it to Cheryl. I know that there's times when, you know, she's been questioned or whatever, but I also say that, you know, she had a hell of a team to be able to get it done, and that's what was needed. But you still got to put it. I thought Leilani Mitchell was great too.
Yeah, she was really controls good. The play. Controls
really
the play.
Did. And okay, and you know what's me. The what's the young girl from Perth who had the face guard? I'm sorry, the face mask. Goodchild. Yeah, she was great, right? And she took it right up to Leilani, I thought it was really good. But Leilani didn't back down and kept going even more. And I thought that was a real good battle.
I thought actually in game one and two, actually probably any time that Alex Cibitone was on Leilani, because of her height and length, she was the only one that really, really consistently troubled her. You know, she was going head to head with Goodchild. That was, you know, great. But I thought Chuba was the one that was on top of her on those occasions. I actually was really impressed with Alex Chipperton. I thought she was great for Perth. And I mean, like in the manner that you saw, we saw Annalie Maley kind of sadly disappear. Amy Atwell also, I felt, got a bit exposed. I thought after game one, don't give me how good. How good in game one? Great.
Oh, game one, sorry. That's what I thought you were going to say.
But after that, Bec Cole went after her. This is why I would have had Bec Cole higher in the Rachel Spawn voting. Jasmine Dickey went after her. They went after her at the other end. Now, you know that. You know that's a good philosophy with your Chris Goulding or with your Bryce Cotton, that you go after them at the other end.
Jordan
they
Crawford.
Usually end up getting they usually end up getting the what would be the weakest assignment. So that player's then got a lift. And, you know, I thought that's – Amy Atwell's defense was really exposed. I thought she's a great offensive player, but mate, there's two ends of the floor, as you well know.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, give me your. Well, who was your player? Did you have Mercedes as your player?
I thought you had Bec Cole. I had Bec Cole as mine, right. But I mean, I've got no issue with Mercedes winning it. She was a real presence, no question. Yep. And she hits the winning basket in the game. So, you know, that counts for something. You?
I had Mercedes. I thought she was great. You know, but it wouldn't. I wouldn't have argued if you had Bec Cole. I probably wouldn't have argued if it was Leilani as well. Leilani, I thought they. I thought Jasmine was great. I just thought I don't want to say the other three were better because that's so not fair. But I just you could have had any four of them. Actually, you're right. I thought Lauren was great, but not at that time. Do you know what I mean? Like she's just done
it
so much.
She beat Melbourne Boomers. She got them.
That's exactly right. 38 points. Boddy, there's some other news coming out of the WNBL. Why don't you tell us?
I'm just hearing that the Melbourne Boomers license could be a little bit suspect moving forward, that there's a bid coming from a consortium in Geelong, and it's a serious bid with serious money to come in and buy the license that belongs to the Melbourne Boomers, who apparently are struggling a little bit financially to continue. So that's in limbo at the moment while BA actually has a look at this offer from Geelong. That would kind of mean probably – you know, that group of players, I would think a fair few of them would be moving over to Geelong. I imagine they'd want to keep Chris Lucas as their coach. And so there's definitely something to look out for. Now, I think the league does not want to lose Melbourne because it's the oldest existing club. Melbourne. As Bulleen started, there's been there 40 years. But, you know, if you can't do it financially, you've got to cut your losses and go somewhere. The other thing is Melbourne being the hotbed of basketball in Australia. I know, you know, Sydney likes to call itself Hoop City, but I think they're referring to horse racing. In terms of basketball, Melbourne is the centre of the universe. And to only have one WNBL team based there, whereas you'd have one in Bendigo and one in Geelong, probably is not something the BA likes the look of. But anyway, that's some stuff to sort out in the next week or two before the free agents list comes out, because you want to know who your clubs are.
Yeah. Look, I think, if Melbourne was to be dismantled or whatever, or relocated, I think it'd be a shame. But I'd be really happy for Geelong. Yeah, you know, they would love that. They would absolutely love that. I remember you know, playing there for many years and then going back there as a coach as well. They love their sport. So, so please God, they'll go. Well, look, buddy, that's a wrap for the WNBL. Have you got anything else you want to?
No, that's about it. You sign us out, mate.
I know how much the WNBL means to you. It's over to you.
I think it was a very good season. The fact that it actually really did come down to the last game of the regular season, and that a team that was that had lost a whole bunch of games in a row and looked out of it, gone, then goes on to make the grand final was a tribute to the Perth Lynx organisation. But also, I think it was just an outstanding season. I'm disappointed for the Melbourne Boomers that that first nine players they had never played a single game together. So they never actually had the team there because there was always injury or something going on. So, but yeah, overall, I thought it was terrific. Let's move on to the NBL because this time last week, you were saying that Tasmania would beat Perth and that Melbourne would beat Illawarra. It'd be a Melbourne-Tasmania series. So hats off to you. I said here on the program that I'll just go the other way for the sake of argument. Perth and Illawarra, so I was completely wrong. However, those of you that are readers know that I did actually at the blog say this will be a Melbourne-Tasmania.
So basically what you're saying is you're wrong, but you're right. Yeah, okay.
No,
yeah,
I'm saying I played both ends against them.
I feel like I'm at home talking to my wife. Jesus, like, you did get it right, Brad, but I still got it better. Yeah, no problem.
I didn't say that. Anyway, it was fantastic. I mean,
well, I want to go back and let's go way back, right? Huge shout out, Illawarra. Outstanding season. Fantastic. Start the season 2-7. Take what some people will say the winner in the next four games of the grand final, but that's irrelevant. They take the top seed. Three tough games, played really well. Let's just wrap Illawarra really quickly. Huge kudos to them. Now they've got to back it up next season, but well done.
Yeah. And I see where Justin Tatum is saying he'd like to bring back the entire same roster. Well, Justin, I think that would be a very good thing for the most part, but I would be looking to get Tyler Harvey naturalised. I'd be looking to say to Justin Robinson, thanks very much, but we can do better than you. Mm-hmm. And I would actually try to improve that position. And then if Tyler Harvey was naturalised, then the door opens for a third possibility, perhaps later down the line when you see how your team's going, what you might need.
I'm telling you right now, if I'm the Sydney Kings, I'm saying to Tyler Harvey, up you come the highway. Thanks, mate. We'll take you 1 year as an import and the next 2 years as a naturalisation player.
But you know that the Sydney Kings' new coach, Brian Gorgian, has no connection to Tyler Harvey.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. I think that's a brilliant one. Can I also say I agree with you. I would not be bringing Justin Robinson back. I do love is, and I have no doubt, that Tatum knows what he's doing, right? That he's been saying, I'd love to bring the team back. Of course, that's not going to happen. Never happens in sport, right? No. And what he's saying is, I love my team and thank you, right? And I think the number one thing they have to do is get Gary Clark. Their biggest issue now is, can they afford him? Because everyone's going to come at him, right? So, okay, Illawarra. Let's move on to the other team that lost, Perth. You talk that we're sitting here going, Illawarra, fantastic effort, take the game three, blah, blah. Perth, the knives are out. Everyone wants people sacked. It was an ugly finish. We saw what happened. Like, Keanu Pinder was outstanding in game one, no show in game two. Was it concussion? Wasn't it concussion? Don't know. It looked like it to me, yes. Suspected. Then game three, don't know what happened there. Was it? What's going on?
Wearing the mask. Bryce, not wearing the mask.
Yeah, Bryce looked so frustrated. Saw him go over to John Riley at one time, throwing his arms up. Don't know what he said, not putting words in anyone's mouth, but he's frustrated. You can see that. And that was a train wreck at the end for Perth, which I am now, I don't like to give you credit because you just gave me a little bit, I will. I don't know when it was, but you've been saying most of the year, but even recently, there is just something about Perth that I just don't know. And you picked it for game three. Even though you picked Perth in game three.
No, I just did that for fun. Look, the reality is that I saw a couple of times when Perth got beaten, was it Southeast Melbourne or somebody unexpectedly beat them? And as the going got tough, John Riley and his staff reverted. Now, you know, we had this conversation about how what a great job he did in changing the direction of the team. Well, he changed the direction of the team from the direction he was taking them on. Mm-hmm. And then when the pressure was on, I saw them revert. And that's what game three was. They reverted back to, you don't want, Jordan Usher driving and taking a shot. You want a couple of extra passes, get Price cotton free. Guy's got 15 points. He's 3 of 3 from the 3-point line in the first half. And he's got, what, 3 shot attempts in the second half? Or, yeah. You know, it's just a joke. You know, you're not, you've gone away from what was successful. No wonder he was frustrated. Keanu Pinder was, Keanu didn't even look like he was there. Didn't even look like he knew where he was. So I don't know that, that thing was always suspect to me, that great little run they had when they won 8 games or whatever it was in a row. Terrific. They got it together, but they didn't stay true to that, and they needed to. You know, if Trevor Gleeson's available, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's what I found amazing. They started the season with 2 wins, 5 losses, right, Perth. They then went 13 wins and 2 losses over 15 games, 13-2, and they finished the season 3-6.
Yeah.
What an up and down season. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just don't see that. And to come into a semi-finals where they were, you know, at that stage where they were like 3-3 or something like that. Oh, they would have been 2-3, right? And then they played the next few games and went 1 of 2. I don't know. There's just something. It'll be interesting to see what they do is the answer.
Yeah,
it'll be
I want to shout out.
Because Riley's got another year. Yeah, Riley's got another year, as we know.
I want to give a shout out to Pat Whalen, who's an American who was an import, played in the heyday in Melbourne, and who now lives in Perth, and who I keep in reasonable contact with. I think he listens to the program. I hope he does, because he sent me an email when they were in that big streak of wins saying Perth for the championships, and I sent him back an email saying they will not reach the final because they will revert. Because as I said this to you before, if you've got habits, when the pressure's on, that you'll revert to those habits. Now, if you're a good team with consistent success, you will revert to good habits.
I'll tell you one thing I did
not,
like,
you'll revert to bad.
I'll tell you one thing I did like. Christian Doolittle was good in all 3 games. He was solid. He was solid. Yeah. He's a solid import. You know, I thought he did all right. I mean, Bryce was Bryce, but he was a solid import. But when you look down the line, you know, Saar, 21 minutes, 5 points. Usher, 21 minutes, 6 points. You know, Ty Webster, 27 minutes, 9 points. But he's not a point scorer, I get that.
No, he's he was good. Distributor. He's been good.
I thought Hyrum Harris was good for him, you know. So they've got the nucleus. All right, so we move on. But let's, before we do, with Tasmania now, who won that game. So we'll go there and then we'll go back to Melbourne afterwards. Right, Tasmania, I mean, how good were they? Jack McVay, wow. How you ever let him leave from Adelaide, that's a separate story. But
unfortunately, it was my decision. I said, get rid of him.
Yeah. I'm sure it was. But I tell you what, if Adelaide, mate, you go like Creek, Sobey, McVay. Who else? We've got Hyrum Harris, Aldrich, you know, Harris, like, Brad Newley, but he never played.
Yeah,
but
let's keep going.
What are you loving about Tassie? We're just talking the Perth series at the moment, or do you want to go straight to the semis?
Let's talk about it. What I like about Tassie, and it's what Melbourne took them out of, is that they play great as a team. They function as a unit. They don't really. Yes, they need Milton Doyle to play well, and they need Jack McVay to play well. But so what? I mean, everybody needs their good players to play well. So you're really not saying anything by saying that. So I think what Melbourne did in game one was brilliant in being able to take them out of what they wanted to do.
Unbelievable. That is probably one of the best coaching things. You know, I love watching it from the coaching perspective. Yep. I just wonder how much Jacob Chance, isn't it? I wonder how much that has really helped Melbourne United. Is it Jacob, isn't it, who was the assistant at Tasmania, who's now the assistant? You just wonder how much that has helped Melbourne, knowing that he would know the Jackies system back to front and being able to run.
It's not going
to
do him any good in game two, because Jackies will win game two. But
yeah, I agree with that. But look, as a player, to have all that intel is a great thing. The one thing I would then counter that with is Tasmania are the best with their counters. So, okay, you take that away, I'll take this away, right? So I thought great coaching by Melbourne. I thought Tasmania, I was expecting you to be much closer in that game. But McVay, you know.
They shut down the main team.
Majok Deng has come back from injury. Fantastic.
He was terrific.
They were, especially in that Perth series, he was phenomenal.
But that's what I mean. It's a team, you see. It's like they need everyone to come in and do their bit. Yeah. And Melbourne prevented that. So you've got to give Melbourne hats off to them. I have a question for you, a question without notice. Mm. We're talking boomers. Suddenly there's an opening for one big guy, and the two options are Will Magne or Sam Froehlich. Who are you taking?
Magne.
Why is that?
Because I feel that Magne's defense at the end there, we don't have that. I feel like Sam Froehlich, I love him. Yeah, mate,
My next question. Yep. My next question for you is this. Who was regarded as the best player of game one of the grand final? Who got the award? Yeah, they presented him with
JLA.
So the opposite center. Now let's go back. Sam Froehlich, he took on the two-headed monster of Joe Lualua-Chule and Ariel Hakpoti, and he beat them in every single game.
Body, I'm cutting you off all there, mate. Will Magne played 13 minutes, foul trouble, didn't get a chance.
Whose fault is that?
Yeah, well, a couple of those fouls, they weren't fouls.
I know, but you know, you got to be smart. We don't want to play the bad habits music, but Will Magne needs to smart.
Oh, we can play it anyway. Too. Sorry, just had to. No, look, you're right. The one where he pushed and got the tech, Will, you just can't do that. Now, we'll come back to whether it was right or wrong. I know you want to talk about that later, but that is irrelevant. Will, you just can't put yourself in that position, mate. That's, you are too good of a player, right? So I hear what you're saying.
You've got to be smarter.
But if you've got an Olympic team and, you know, you need...
No, I'm really... That wasn't really that. It was just now my choice, because I'm looking at the fact that Sam Froehlich beat those two guys three straight games.
Yeah,
and Will Magne, game one, he's going to have to show me something.
Let me come from it a different angle. Love Sam Froehlich. I went on air and said I think he should be your second NBL team. Still believe that to this day, right? I think he was great, right? And what he does for Illawarra is fantastic. If I had the choice, though, of saying, right, I know the way the Boomers want to play. They're athletes. They're up. Yeah. They're in. What's that going to do? You know what I mean? Yeah. That's why I'm saying that. But you wouldn't go wrong with Sam Froehlich. Let me stay on the game, the first game, and we'll still talk to Jackies. Jordan Crawford, 3 of 13. There's a problem there, buddy.
Yes, he has struggled for weeks. This isn't just something that's just happened. He has been struggling for the last few weeks of the regular season and pretty much all the way through the playoffs. Mm. I think he had one good game. He might have had 19 points in one of the early games. But generally speaking, you know, that shot that you were really confident when he was taking it, a bit like when Jack McVay takes a three or Sean McDonald takes a three, you're more surprised when they miss. Well, that's how we were with Jordan Crawford. But right now we're really praying that he can stick on, because they need him.
They're struggling because, you know, like Jack McVay he's been phenomenal, right?
Yes.
Not sure about all this NBA talk, I've got to be honest.
That's the usual crap.
By the way, another Adelaide boy, as we said before. And speaking of another Adelaide boy, I think Anthony Drimix is doing really well as well. But anyway, stop that. But
season high 18 in game one.
Yeah. Wasn't he good? You know, doesn't everyone in Melbourne just want to punch him in the head? I love it. You know, just he's such a niggler, right? But he just plays hard and he's in Chris Gordon. He's doing what he has to do. But Tassie, I know you're now the coach of Melbourne and you're going to be like, these guys are coming with a cricket bat. Be careful. Mm. Here we go. That's going to be an absolute rip-roarder on Friday. But let's just talk about Melbourne. How damn good were they?
Yeah. You know what? It does surprise me when Melbourne complains about another team being physical. Oh, for crying out loud. You think Matthew Dellavedova's not physical? Shea Ely or Joe Lualua-Chule?
That's his job.
Or Luke Travis?
I was surprised when I looked at the stats afterwards and Delhi had 11 and 6. I actually thought he had more points. He looked more impactful. Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, obviously his passes and everything. I mean, I'll tell you what, like CG 43, unbelievable. But, oh, man, Ian Clark, that guy's just a flat-out baller and winner. Yep. He is just a winner. He just comes up 18 points. JLA was great for 20, but I'm with you. I know he got the player of the game, but I'm going to go into my player of the round, and my player of the round is CG43.
Yeah, me too. Likewise. Yeah, right. Yeah. Some of those shots he hit were just
unbelievable. Like,
my dad used to call them, you know, when you shoot a ball and it just goes whoop, straight through the swish.
There was a time boneless shots. The net didn't move. It was like it didn't have a net on it, you know what I mean? And some of those were deep. And I mean, look, they were 14 of 28 from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. Ian Clark was 3 of 5, and one of those was from, you know, Geelong. It's yep. just it was a fantastic game.
6 and 10 for Chris.
They won all four quarters, which is quite rare in a grand final game. But now, what has the Jack Jumpers learned? Let's go back 24 months ago. They're playing the Sydney Kings.
Yep.
Right? They lose game one. They have a chance to go down to Tasmania and go one all, and DJ Vasiljevic hits that massive three that wins the game, right, for them. What have they learned? And this will be a test now. Two different teams, I get it, but you come back 2-0, I don't know if they can beat Melbourne at home.
No, they can't win three straight. However, I'm saying this to you, what you have, as a Sydney Kings person, conveniently forgotten, was that in that series when they played Tasmania for the championship, there was a bunch of key players for Tasmania injured.
Yeah, they were. Only for game three.
So this time they're quote unquote healthy, as healthy as you are at this stage of the year. So there's no excuse. They will win game two, and then from there we'll see what happens. Now give me your Rosen Rattler.
Look, my Rosen Rattler is two things. One was Jordan Crawford. That boy, I know we've just said it, he's got to come out and play, man.
He's got to.
And I feel you just can't settle for the jump shot all the time. You've got to get yourself into this, mate. The team need you. Jack McVay is really good, and he gets his stuff done. Lee's injured with a shoulder. Magne's good, but you are the head of that snake with the way you go. Can't keep throwing the ball to Milton Doyle, Tasmania, and say, please get us a score. They need you, mate. They need you to get your 20 points. You are a whippet on the court. You are fantastic when you're playing, but they need you to play. My other thing, and I'm saying it again, Boddy, I'm backing up. Players, stop friggin' diving. Mm-hmm. This is becoming a friggin' joke. Every time someone shoots a shot, they're diving, they're throwing back. I feel for the referees because they're making bad calls because it's an instinct. Right. And there was a couple of calls there yesterday where it's like, well, no, that's a wrong call. Right. But they're throwing their bodies on the line and they're throwing back. Mate, I think there should be a replay. And if the replay shows that you've over-exaggerated, reverse the damn thing and given them an intentional. I'm over it, buddy.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I'll say two things to that, Brad. One I've said many times, which is tech foul the coach and flopping is over. But the other thing is, this is the game today, Brad. This is the game today. This is LeBron James. You brush past him and he ends up in the fifth row. You know, this is what it is. You never saw Larry Bird do that. You never saw Irvin Johnson do that. You never saw Kareem, Michael Jordan. You never, that was a different era. This is today's era.
It's driving me nuts.
You're just going to have to get used to it. It's like carrying the ball. Everybody who dribbles carries the ball. It's just, you just have to get used to this is the modern game. This is the way they're allowing it to happen. Sorry, mate. I've got to go now with a nasty. Michael Aylin, referee, many times referee of the year. I think he's been in the Olympics. Mate, you're better than that technical foul you gave Will Magne at the 7:38 mark of the second quarter of game one of the grand final. This is a grand final. The tensions are high. Excitement is high. Emotions are high. So he cuts through the key. Kyle Bowen gets in his road. He drops his shoulder and bumps Kyle Bowen. Kyle Bowen does a, you know, I've been shot from the stands, falls over, and he gets the foul. Fine. Got the foul. He turns around and says something to Kyle Bowen along the lines of, you know, that get up, you know, that was weak as water, or stop acting, whatever he said, something like that, and you give him a tech foul?
Yep.
That is ridiculous. You've given him, now he's got two fouls in the space of 1 second, and then you give him a third foul when he's boxing out Joelu Alachua. Joelu Alachua's got an arm around him. He's got an arm around Joelu Alachua, and you choose to give him what would be his third foul, make him impotent in the game, irrelevant in the game, no factor. Now, you as a referee are better than that. You should have just simply done, I think it was Vaughn Mabry, when Ian Clark taunted Anthony Drimmick, just basically said, hey, cut that shit out, basically. And that was
look,
that.
I know I'm probably wrong when I say this, but I always thought there was an unwritten law that if you give a foul or you give something to someone, give them 20 seconds, give them 30 seconds, and give them double in a grand final, right?
Yeah.
But just the emotion that comes over it. And I was surprised because I don't even think – did Aylin call the foul?
I don't know. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. And I just – like, I get it, but, oh, man. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, fair call. We did your play over the round. Boddy, I think that's it, mate. Okay, sorry. Who you've got? So you've got Tasmania.
I've got
so Tassie, are you saying this is going five? So that's obviously you're saying at least four. What are you saying?
I'm saying it's going at least four.
Yeah.
They get game two, and then I, Look, I can't pick
hang
the
on.
Great.
Before you do this, give me best moment. Sorry, I need your best moment first.
My best moment was here on my notes, CG43's long bombs, just the way they went through that. They were just exceptional shots. Yeah. You know, like I know he wasn't, he didn't have a great series against Illawarra. He copped a bit of criticism for it, but you know, he still will hit that big shot when it's necessary, and he hits some big ones. I
Are
hate
you
his
taking
flopping.
Him to Paris?
I hate his flopping, but no, I'm not taking him to Paris.
Why?
Because I've got a wife. You know, we're just not that close.
Buddy. Oh, I've got to pay you that one. It's very rare that you go out with that one. That's good. I'm going to give you my best moment, and I'll tell you what. Scott Roth, the way he spoke afterwards, Ireland defended.
In Perth.
That was unbelievable. I've got goosebumps when I talk about it. You could hear him choking up saying what it means to the island. Well, and then on a separate issue, what about Vickerman coming out and going, you can defend your little island? I don't mind that, actually. A bit of smack talk.
People trying to make more of that than it was.
Come on. We know Dean well enough to know there is absolutely nothing in that. But I just thought that, you know, Scott Roth, that he is just like, that was a golden moment. For the people of Tasmania, mind you. But
and you know what? I would like to watch that again because at the time I thought that when he choked up, so did John Casey, who was doing the interview. He was a little bit – it took him a second to gather before he could move forward himself.
I think
it was a lovely moment. I've got to say Scott Roth has done an outstanding job. To take a team from nothing in 3 years, grand final, semi-final, grand final, this is just an extraordinary, unprecedented run.
Well, look at Southeast Melbourne Phoenix when you add that into the equation. You know, look at them now. They've got to rebuild or do whatever. They've gone through another coach now, rebuilding, sacking players. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing for Southeast. That's reality.
Yeah.
Right? That's reality in professional in professional sport. That's what happens, you know? So, and they've had a lot of turnover of players too. They've had different imports. Both those imports that are all three of those imports that were playing weren't there in the first year. Yep. So it's not like he's, you know, got himself, and no disrespect to a Bryce Cotton. It's not like you've got yourself a Bryce Cotton and gone, we win with you. Do you know what I mean? Like he's had to go with the imports that he had first. Then he cut that guy, Adams. I remember he played in the first grand final series.
Josh Adams and Josh McGett.
Yeah, McGett was great. They bought him back the second year, but Josh Adams hit that three in the corner against Melbourne. Right. Yeah. Then they bought Doyle back last year and McGett. And then they get rid of McGett and go Crawford. And now they bring in Lee. You know, like it's and it's still, you can say they've, well, Magne hasn't played the whole time, but they've got, you know, Jack McVay's been the core. Probably really I know they've had, you know, Fabian and those guys, but really Jack McVay, when you think about it, because Drimmick's only been there this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Steindl would be another one. He's a
big
one.
Steindl, Jack McVay.
Yeah.
And I don't know, how long's Krstulović been there? Was he there from the start?
No, he's been there from the start, but and that's probably helps, you know, Jared Weeks, who's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been there, but he's now assistant with them. Yep. And so the foundation.
We're talking
too
long. We're raving on. People are tuning out all over the country. Not that anyone all over the country.
I was gonna say
in.
Who tuned in.
I'm out. Who are you going for? Give me Friday, your winner? Is it Melbourne or Tassie?
Tassie. I'm saying I'm going five, and Melbourne will win it. Each home game wins.
All right. We'll see how we're going this time next week.
See you next time. Can I ask you, did you choke up a little bit as well?
I did. Yeah. But what it really, him choking up, Scott Roth choking up was one thing. But John, who I've known for a long time, is the most professional of the callers going around.
I meant for dinner the other night, but okay, let's talk about this.